In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
And sisters, we are back to that greeting. Glory to Jesus Christ. Glory forever. And what a greeting it is. What a greeting it is. What a joy it is to give glory to Jesus Christ and to do it forevermore. Today's gospel reading spoke to us about glory. How the Lord lifted up his eyes and looked to heaven and said, Father, the time has come, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. And he speaks about this glory that he had with the Father before the creation of the world. The glory of the divine nature. It's this glory that he has come to bring to us so that we might share in that glory, so that we might be glorified, so that we might become united to God, participators in the divine nature, as St. Peter says. What a great glory, the glory of God that he gives to us by his grace. And of course, this is what we celebrate with the feast of the Lord's Ascension. After he had, through the cross, descended into the depths of hell, rose again on the third day, appeared to the disciples for 40 days, confirming them in the knowledge and the truth that he had conquered sin, death, and the devil, that he had risen from the dead. After he had done all of that for 40 days with infallible proofs, he then ascends to heaven, to where he was before. And the disciples see this great glory of the Messiah, this victor over everything. And they were filled with this joy. The disciples, though, we know, were earlier filled with grief. The Lord even told them, before he was going to the cross, now is your time of grief, but I will see you again after the resurrection, and you will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. No one will take your joy away from you. Last night, we had one of those hymns from the post-feast of the Ascension that speak to us about the mother of God's joy. And it is contrasted to her sorrow. We sung, for to her who in thy passion endured more than all the others because she was thy mother, was granted to enjoy the exceeding delight of the glorification of thy body. When the Lord ascended to heaven, all of the disciples were filled with joy, and no one more than his mother, who loved him so much and rejoiced in what her son was accomplishing. Christ is victorious over everything. And how much do we need to remember that in our day and age, brothers and sisters? Someone once described life as being hard, full of sorrow, suffering, and pain. And then you die. What a sad, sorrowful account of life. And there's some truth to that, but not entirely, because we do have certain joys in life. We do have certain things that lift us up. You know, sometimes you'll hear about someone who, after their team wins the Super Bowl, or after they win the championship, whatever the case is, they might say, well, you know, my life is really in the can. It's going down the tubes. But at least my team won. At least my team won. I have this little bit of joy. And we latch onto it. Because we're made for joy. We're made to rejoice. But any type of earthly joy, we know, doesn't last. Those teams that win lose the next day. And that joy begins to fade. And it fades very quickly. But the joy that we have in Christ never fades. It's the joy of eternal life breaking through into the corruption of this world. And because it is eternal, it lasts forever. Think about that for a moment. The victory of Christ will last forever. This joy will eclipse sorrow, and there will be no more sorrow. In the book of Revelation, we hear about how every tear from every eye will be dried. That life and light will reign forevermore. And this is what we celebrate. seeing Christ ascend to heaven because he's going to prepare a place for us too, so that where he is, we might also be in the kingdom of eternal life. What a great joy we have to glorify Christ who shares his life with us. And I hope, brothers and sisters, this is what we're looking for. This is what we're anticipating. This is the direction that our life is heading. That this is what we aspire to. We should ask ourselves, are we anticipating the second coming of Christ? Are we anticipating the kingdom of heaven in all of its fullness? Is this what we're looking for? You know, this ascent that Christ makes is going to be our ascent as well, by his grace. But before we can ascend, we have to also do what he did, which was descend. And that's the difficult thing for us to descend. But as St. Paul writes to the Hebrews, we must fix our eyes on Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. It's amazing that through the cross and death, descending into hell, then Christ ascends to the highest height ever possible and sits on the throne with our human nature now, reigning Father and the Holy Spirit. And as amazing as that is, what's more amazing is that he will raise us up to that too, to sit on the same throne. What? Father John, that's blasphemy. What are you talking about? Consider this. I will read to you in the words of our Lord himself. I go prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I am going, you know, and the way you know. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this is from the book of Revelation that speaks to us about the end of times. And to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and have sat down with my Father on his throne. That's where we're going, brothers and sisters. The highest height of existence by grace. But we have to be willing again to descend as Christ did to the lowest depths. You know, last night I was having a conversation with my children. Yes, it's happening again. I'm going to talk about you guys. I was talking to them about the cross dive, where you got to dive into the depths of the pool and pull up the cross. And I was telling them, what every good father would tell their children, that they must win. They cannot bring shame on their parents, their ancestors rolling over in their graves. And I told them, you know, not only must you win, but you must win at all costs. You must win at all costs. Did I not say that, children? Did I not tell you to win no matter what? I did, yeah. Well, John, why would you do that? It doesn't matter if you win or lose, it's how you play the game. No, it does matter if you win or lose. But the definition of winning is something that God gives to us. We're so used to defining things in our own ways. Whatever we say this word means, it means. We define up as down and down as up. We have mixed up so many things. The definition of winning and victory is given to us by God in Christ. He tells us how to win, and he tells us to win at all costs. Lose even your life so that you might save it. We are to win at all costs. We are to be victorious in Christ. Nothing should come in our way. And to think about winning and victory and ascent and glory. Think about this image. Think about a pyramid. Pyramid has the big base, and then it has its zenith, its height, the top point. And it's singular, right? Single point at the top. And that's kind of how our earthly vision of glory is. You have to conquer everyone, defeat everyone, scratch and crawl your way to the top, kick people off you, push them down, right? So that we could get to the top and rule over everyone. That's our earthly definition of victory. What is the divine definition of victory? Just the opposite. Flip the pyramid. Victory is when you descend down to the bottom and you support everyone. You lift everyone up. You raise up others and bear their weight, bear their burdens, bear their sins, bear everything upon you. And who does that but Christ? Not just on earth, but even into the lowest Hades. There was no one below Christ when he descended to Hades so that he might lift everyone up. This is the victory of God in Christ. And this is the victory that we're called to share. St. Paul writes to the Philippians, he said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, thought equality with God not something to be clenched, something to hold on to only for himself, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself even to the point of death, a death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him." Brothers and sisters, our way is nothing other than the way of Christ. There is such heights for us in him by grace. But we have to be willing to humble ourselves, to let the ego die in that grave of humility, to let Christ raise us up from the lowest depths, from this difficult life full of pain and suffering and sorrow, to raise us up out of that into eternal life, where there is joy and peace, happiness, union with God and with one another. Brothers and sisters, it is a joy to be a Christian. It is a great honor to be a Christian. Let us rejoice in Christ, giving glory to him forevermore. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.